Dietz and Watson's been making meats and cheeses the right way since forever. What's that mean? It means never cutting corners, ever. It means cooking, not processing. It means our Virginia brand ham that's cooked to perfection, then twice baked to layer the flavors. It takes more time, but you can taste the difference. We come to work every day to do it the right way, even if it's the hard way. Because if it's not right for us, it's not right for you. Dietz and Watson, it's a family thing since 1939.
Walmart Plus members save on meeting up with friends. Save on having them over for dinner with free delivery with no hidden fees or markups. That's groceries plus napkins plus that vegetable chopper to make things a bit easier. Plus, members save on gas to go meet them in their neck of the woods. Plus, when you're ready for the ultimate sign of friendship, start a show together with your included Paramount Plus subscription. Walmart Plus members save on this plus so much more. Start a 30-day free trial at walmartplus.com. Paramount Plus, essential plan only. Separate registration required. See Walmart Plus terms and conditions.
Welcome to the NASCAR and NBC podcast. I'm your host, Nate Ryan. Today here at Xfinity Playoff Media Day, where I am joined by Elliot Sadler, who is, of course, not just racing for the Xfinity Championship this year, but also in the final season of his NASCAR career. So thanks for being here.
Yeah, man, appreciate you having me.
So I want to talk a little bit about your career and kind of reflect back on it a little bit. I'm not sure if people realize that this is your second stint in the Xfinity Series. So in 1997 and 98, I was looking up the stats today, Elliot, 5 victories in your first 2 full seasons with Gary Bechtel's team at the time. What opportunities did you have? Did you sort of have your pick of cup teams of where you wanted to go to? I bet it was different than it would have been now.
It's way different. I remember racing the late models, and we would go race the late models where the Busch cars were at the time.
Right.
And we'd go try to run good, and we won a couple races. And we remember telling the owners, going, look how good we're doing. And they're like, what can you do in a Busch car? What are you going to do in a Busch car? That's what we want to see. So I sold everything I had and kind of had to go invest in myself to buy a Busch car. So I had like one car, one motor. I had some help from my brother, like some shocks and springs and stuff, because he had a team at the time. And we would go do one-off short track, you know, Busch races. And that's where I got seen at by Gary Bechtel. Really, the race is Hickory Motor Speedway in 1996. I qualified for the race. His car did not. He had to take the sponsor off his car and put it on mine. And we kind of started from there. But it took me kind of being at the track to be with Gary Bechtel to get in that position to kind of get my name out. And then when it got in, as far as making it to the Cup Series, you know, I got a call from the Wood brothers, Eddie Wood, about halfway during the 1998 season to meet him at a Bennigan's restaurant in Michigan for the Michigan race, and to meet with he and Lynn and talk about maybe a possibility of driving for the Wood brothers, which I didn't believe him at first when he called. I thought it was a buddy of mine playing a joke on me, but I had a meeting with them, and kind of the rest is history.
What would have happened if you would have won 5 times in the Xfinity Series now versus 20 years ago? Do you think there would have been way more possibilities or opportunities for somebody like you now?
Could have been. But things are so different now. I mean, I tell my brother and I laugh about this all the time. Man, I got screwed in the Xfinity deal. When I came along, I was the only young guy, only one.
Right.
It was Randy LaJoy, Mike McLaughlin, Todd Bodine,
right,
you know, Jim Bown, Chuck Bown, Curtis Marker, my brother, is Eldon Sawyer, all these older guys. Now I come back for my second stint. They're all young guys. I don't have anybody to hang out with, Nate. And things are definitely a little differently, and it's all about winning. I was able to win some races at Gary Bechtel, and that definitely opened the doors for me to make it into a Cup ride.
So you go to Wood Brothers Racing, Elliot, and as you mentioned, I mean, things were a lot different then, too. 4 seasons there, a very different number 21 car. At the time, they were based in tiny Stuart, Virginia.
That's right.
They had no alliance. They had no engineers at all, and you finished 20th to 30th in points each year. You had the big win at Bristol. When you think back on those years, like, what are your biggest takeaways?
Best thing for me that has ever happened to me.
Really?
And I'll tell you that, and I said this to a team owner the other day who's having an issue with one of his drivers. I'm gonna tell you the best lesson I've learned in NASCAR since I've been a part of it. So the Wood brothers hired me, and they call me in. This is like January. We're getting ready to start 1999 season. We go up for a supper at the Wood Brothers shop, and Eddie Wood brings me to the back of the shop. And there is all the employees with their wives and their kids. So everybody that it affects. And here I am, a 23-year-old know-it-all, right, a kid. And he pulls me in front of everybody, and he says, your decisions you make on and off the racetrack dictate how these families are fed. Wow. Affects all these families. Just want you to know that. I'm not trying to scare you. We're here to support you. And that's the way he used it, that, hey, we're here to support you in those things. But look at it like this also. If you go out and make these decisions and do things you're not supposed to do, you're affecting all these people, not just yourself. And honestly, it was the best eye-opening experience I had. Now, yes, we were a smaller team. We didn't have engineering. I think we had 21 full-time employees. You know, Hendrick had 300. But when Pat Tryson came on board and we were learning a lot and we were able to win a race and had some momentum going there, we were part of the All-Star race in 2001 and 2002 as well. So we did have some great moments and great time, but I would not substitute that experience for anything.
So you're a 23-year-old kid driving for that team in 99, and you see that and gives you a perspective. You see 20 families, not right. just 20 team members, and like, this is what I've got on my shoulders.
That's exactly right, and it was a very good eye-opening experience. And it just I grew up in a household where my dad owned businesses and people worked for him, and we understood about support, keeping the business going because it supported families. But when it was all on me, it wasn't on my dad's shoulders. This was right. on Elliot's shoulders as a 23-year-old kid. Really opened my eyes on the way to treat people in the sport, not only fans, media, sponsors, track promoters, I mean, everything that came with it. But that was a great experience for me. I'll never forget it.
So you think younger drivers into the, you said you were talking about this, referencing it with the team owner. Are they missing that perspective a little bit?
100%. Everybody's really? Just on dad's money right now. They don't really care. And that was one of the conversations I had with him, going, look, this yeah. is the way it was presented to me. Maybe you need to present it to him in this manner, because obviously he's not getting it the way he's being perceived to him now. So I was just trying to help. Just going to look at it like this, because me and this guy have been friends forever. And I think sometimes these kids come in on a red carpet, don't really understand the sacrifices and stuff that other people have made for them to get there. And I don't think they understand, when they make the decisions they make, how many people it honestly affects.
And that was another thing that was different when you were a younger driver 20 years ago, Elliot. I mean, you weren't bringing sponsorship.
No
right?
money.
No.
We were bringing no money at all. It was yeah. up to the sponsor to okay you and the team and all of it. And you had to go sit in front of a sponsor and be interviewed and all the things that go with it, which, Nate, has been great experiences. You know, was a great experience for me.
Yeah, well, I mean, you were good at it. Here's a quote from 2002 from Eddie Wood. He said, this was after you had signed with Robert Yates Racing, your final season with the Wood Brothers. Eddie Wood said, you were a sponsor's dream. You can take Elliot anywhere before any group of people, Wall Street type group, a local beer joint. Elliot does all of that. Did that always just come natural to you?
Yeah, I don't know why, because in high school, man, I was the shyest kid. And then I start getting really good in sports and really developed and was almost a freak on this, whether I was playing basketball or baseball. I played six sports in high school, but those two sports, I really started to gain confidence in myself. When I was an eighth and ninth grader, public speaking, anything like that, I was not going to get, I wouldn't even dress up for Halloween. I was so shy. I was just embarrassed and shy. And my kids are the same freaking way right now. but as I start becoming so confident on the court, I start being more comfortable in my skin. And I knew, being a team captain and a leader and meeting with all these colleges and stuff, I knew I kind of had to open up a little bit.
So it's the same way with sponsors then.
It's the same way with sponsors. You know how you hear advice? Dale Jarrett always told me some great advice. It is what you make it. Mm-hmm. If you're here today, we're doing media day. If you look at this as a problem or an issue, or I can't believe I'm here, that's the way it's going to come across. But if you're here because you got to do it anyway and you want to have fun with it and enjoy it, well, then have fun with it and enjoy it. And it's everything honestly is what you make it. And I think that always rang in my head when we went to do sponsor stuff and all that. It is what you make it. Right. So that's kind of the way I look at it.
Well, the way you made it for the Mars family, they obviously thought you were the right driver for their car at Robert Yates Racing. You go there in 2003. 2004, you win twice.
Right.
And 2005, you got off to a great start. And then after, say, around the midpoint of that season, yep. I know it just wasn't the same. What are your takeaways for those four seasons?
So I'll tell you a cool story with M&Ms. No, they came to Charlotte May Race in 2002 to meet me, Victoria Mars. We were talking. And it was pouring down rain. So I'm like, look, they came to the bus. I said, come on up in the bus. They're like, no. I was like, yeah, we come up in the bus. They're like, we've never been invited to anybody's bus before. I said, let me tell you something. We have an open door policy, which I've always had in my entire career. Most drivers do not do this. I have an open door policy in my bus. If you're a sponsor, part of our team or whatever, you don't even knock. You come up in the bus. We have, you know, you are welcome. You're a part of the family. And I honestly think when we had that meeting, we sat, it was raining all day. Everything was canceled. We sat around the bus and drank beers for a couple hours and told stories. And they had never been invited onto a bus from that, you know, that point. Created a wonderful relationship. And then we went to Robert Yates and we ran good. And we had some crew chief stuff at the time. They were switching crew chiefs around. And, you know, we had Todd and Mike. Then we left and they had Sean and Raymond. And then the Todd and them came back. And in 2005, man, we had it going on. And I got wrecked at New Hampshire by Mark Martin. And it was not his fault. Somebody wrecked in front. And we tore up one of our best cars. And then at Indy a couple weeks later, we had a flat tire running fifth. And those two races put us right outside the chase.
Right.
And I'll never forget it, just like, man. And then he had a lot of turnover. Dale Jarrett was leaving, going to Michael Walter Racing at the time. We had a lot of stuff happening at Yates at the time. And Yates, you know, one of the worst meetings I've ever had in my life, one of the toughest meetings. Robert Yates pulled me into his office and said that you know, he was going to have to sell his team to Jack Roush. That, you know, we'd lost a UPS sponsorship and Dale was leaving, and which was a great opportunity for him. But we were just going to probably maybe be a single car team. And that was at the time when everybody else was actually trying to get to a four car team as fast as they could because
right.
of the NASCAR rules. And he just said, look, I'm going to probably have to sell my team. So if you maybe want to do something different, you might have to start looking. And that was in 2006, right in the middle of 2006, when kind of all that started happening.
Yeah,
two years
after you win at Texas and Fontana,
we have all that going on.
You're going to be a championship contender for years to come.
I know. And then I think when some of the crew chief stuff starts switching around, and some of the sponsorship, we lost some of the sponsorship and stuff like that, it just kind of made a turn, and it was hard for us to recover, and it was tough. I loved Robert Yates. He was a good man. Doug Yates is one of the best people in our garage. But I still remember that. I still remember that day like it was yesterday, having that meeting at his shop.
If things break differently, do you ever think back?
Oh man,
that, like,
all the time. It's,
yeah.
You know, it's two or three things in my career, and I don't regret them because it is what it is. But it's two or three things in my career that I went, if that would have went this way instead of that way,
yeah,
you know, I'd be in a little bit different position right now.
What are they?
Well, that meeting with Robert Yates.
Yep.
The meeting with George Gillette. And that whole circus.
Yeah, I was going to get to that. Yeah.
Was really hard to swallow. And there's a lot of things that, you know, I want to say, but I'm going to refrain from, about that whole situation that we were involved with the whole Gillette man and his whole family and everything that came along. It, you know, got the best of me and Casey and Paul and all of us that were over there at the time. You know, they were tough times in the sport. And honestly, that time in the sport was, I really felt like I was standing on the edge of a cliff, and I was just waiting for somebody to push me off of it. I really just felt like it was, how could this sport have turned this bad this quick? You know, we were not going to go to the racetrack. You know, they were blocking our trucks from leaving because we weren't paying our bills and all these things.
Right.
We would wait the Wednesday or Thursday every week wondering if we were even going to go to the track that weekend or not. We weren't making travel plans or anything. It was, I remember my wife now, Amanda, sitting at home every night wondering, I mean, what's going to happen this week?
Yeah.
I'm running show. They're taking show cars out of the showroom, and that's when I'm racing. And that was a tough time. And then, you know, along came Kevin and Delana Harvick, and honestly gave me a second chance at life, a second chance at racing. A shot at their truck that I won Pocono with, sat on the pole and won Pocono, and that was the deciding race. I think that was the deciding factor race for me to get another chance in racing, because nobody would call or talk to me until I won that race, and then things changed.
Right. That was in the summer of 2010, and
yep.
A few months later you announced you were going to Kevin Harvick Incorporated, going back in the Xfinity Series. I actually found a quote from the press conference, Elliot, in November 2010 when you guys announced that. And there was a story that you had you'd gotten everything done, you'd signed the deal, and then you went to P.F. Chang's the night before, and you got a fortune cookie that said you were about to embark on a most delightful journey.
How about that?
I know.
And it has been a delightful journey. Isn't that crazy?
It worked out that way.
It worked out great.
8 years, 8 years later, it worked out.
I know. And look, so when I was making that decision, I had a chance to run a Starn Park Cup car, or go back to the Xfinity Series with KHI. And I talked to Dale Jarrett a lot. Dale and I are buddies. And he had the same thing happen to him. I mean, he had the Friedlander car. They had the mess. He had to kind of go back and run his own car. Then he came back to the Wood Brothers. So we sat down and talked about him. What do I do? What do I do? Is this a step back? Is this career ending? Because I want to get back to the Cup Series. I want to, you know, this is, I don't want to stay down here long. And, man, what do I do? And he, and after we had so many discussions, decided to go do the KHI deal and have a shot at winning a championship and running up front. And holy cow, was that the best decision I could make.
It's really turned into the second act of your career. I mean, you ran 12 seasons in Cup from 1999 to 2010, 4-27 starts. But really, I think, Elliot, you had those victories in Cup, but I think you'll be remembered probably as much or more
100%.
So from the Xfinity Series.
I agree, Nate, especially here because it's so recently to be as competitive as we have been and run up front a lot. Of course, we don't have as many wins here lately as we want to have, but we seem to always be in the championship mix,
yeah,
which is a lot of fun for me. And you know, I like being competitive, and you know, that all started back in 2011 with the Harvick, and then going to Childress, and it's been a fun ride.
That you've run 8 seasons here. If I would have told you that back in November 2010, when you were announcing you're going to KHI, would that have sounded enticing at that time? I mean, because you probably wanted to get back to Cup that.
No, but I had the chance to come back to Cup, and it got taken away from me. And I mean, another one of the marks in my career that hurt. It's funny how you remember it, how things happened like they were yesterday. So the beginning of the 2012 season, I get a call from Mark Martin to drive the 55 Aaron's car on the races that he's not driving, and which was a great race car. Rodney Childress was the crew chief. MWR was thriving at the time, and they wanted me to do it. So I asked Richard Childress. Richard Childress says, yes, no problem. We signed the contract, did all the deal, made the announcement the Saturday of the Phoenix race that I won. We announced it that morning that I'll be driving from MWR. Huge opportunity. This was my break to get back into Cup racing. We won the race at Phoenix, won the race in the 2 car for Richard Childress Racing. Richard Childress comes to me in victory lane and says, you've got to come to my bus. We got to talk. And when I went to his bus, you can't drive that car. But you've already told me I could. I've signed a contract. You can't. When you drive that car, I got to kick you out of this one.
Because he was Chevrolet and they were Toyota?
Yeah, but it didn't bother him a couple months before. But I think because Mark was running so good, I think Mark had sat on the pole with that car, and then we go out and win the race, and we're leading the points and all of that. I knew then when I was flying home that my chance right there, when he didn't let me drive the 55 car, that was probably my opportunity of getting back in the Cup Series was gone. Brian Vickers gets in the car, wins at New Hampshire, runs great, good for Brian, and I just was thinking that was my opportunity.
That was the shot.
That was it. Because they don't happen every day, especially not with a good team. So I knew then I was in trouble.
And you eventually just sort of like learned that it's not going to happen again.
It's not going to happen. I'm getting to the age now where, you know, people want to invest in younger guys coming in. And I get it. And then it got to the point where when I made it to Junior Motorsports, this is freaking fun. I don't want to go back over there. They're way too stressed over there. They all hate each other. You know, it's so hard anyway.
Yeah,
and you know this.
Yeah.
You've been around it. You're such a smart guy with this. It's so hard anyway. But the Xfinity side is hard. But I got such a great race team. Man, this is freaking fun, man. And I'm home on Sundays. I'm home on Saturday night and hang out on Sundays with my family. Man, you can't beat this. So I'm in a great situation and a great position. And it was getting to the point where I've done about all I probably can do in racing other than winning a championship. And I mean, I don't think my environment could ever get any better than it is now. I'm with a really good team. So let's end it on a high note, and then I can start my next chapter.
What is the next chapter? I know that family is a big part of it. You've talked about that you don't want to miss the baseball games.
That's right.
And everything anymore. But it's astounding to me, Elliot, that, I mean, again, you're so good with sponsors. I know you've done TV in the past. You're such a great ambassador for NASCAR. Is there no chance for you of
if I have told Kelly and Dale Jr. if they needed me to come back and run a couple races to fill a schedule. So that means if they have four guys splitting a race schedule next year, and they need I have a sponsor that will come do four or five races with me as the driver, then I'll do that for them to fill a schedule. But I have no ambition at all to come do full-time. I have no ambition at all to come do radio, because if I'm going to miss time from home, I'm going to have my butt in the seat, right?
Yeah.
I don't want to come back and do this. Look, NASCAR has enough guys on radio and TV to call the race and do stuff. I did that. I did Speed Channel for 10 years with Trackside.
Yeah.
I did all that. It was great. It was fun. I don't want to miss that time just doing that. I've had that offer. I've already had people call me that wants me to come do that, and I just don't want to do that. I'm very busy and very involved with the next chapter of my life already. From the travel ball organization we have started, we have 240 kids there, and we're working on scholarships to try to get kids off the streets and give them an opportunity to come in and teach them health and nutrition and baseball and softball and gymnastics and basketball and some type of outlet other than just standing on the street corner. I have a lot of passion in that as a coach, and that's what I want to do.
All right. Well, I can respect that. Your insight, your presence will be very much missed. Watching you evolve and mature into the career you've had, you
deserve a lot
of credit for being
a
long time.
Well, I appreciate that. Now I can sit at home and watch you guys going, what are y'all talking about?
I know.
Critique what you guys are doing.
Now you can just critique us instead.
That's right. Thanks for having me, man.
Hey, man, I really appreciate you being here. The NASCAR NBC podcast is available on Apple Podcasts, Google Play, Stitcher, Spotify. If you can leave us a rating or review on Apple Podcasts, it really helps us out. And any feedback, you can send it to me on Twitter at Nate Ryan is my handle. Thanks again for listening to the NASCAR NBC podcast.
Dietz and Watson's been making meats and cheeses the right way since forever. What's that mean? It means never cutting corners, ever. It means cooking, not processing. It means our Virginia brand ham that's cooked to perfection, then twice baked to layer the flavors. It takes more time, but you can taste the difference. We come to work every day to do it the right way, even if it's the hard way. Because if it's not right for us, it's not right for you. Dietz and Watson, it's a family thing since 1939.
Walmart Plus members save on meeting up with friends. Save on having them over for dinner with free delivery with no hidden fees or markups. That's groceries, plus napkins, plus that vegetable chopper to make things a bit easier. Plus, members save on gas to go meet them in their neck of the woods. Plus, when you're ready for the ultimate sign of friendship, start a show together with your included Paramount Plus subscription. Walmart Plus members save on this, plus so much more. Start a 30-day free trial at walmartplus.com. Paramount Plus, Essential plan only. Separate registration required. See Walmart Plus terms and conditions.